Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom Aleichem and welcome back to today's Daf Yomi Menachas Ayin Ches. We begin at the Mishnah, which is around 10 lines off the top. Hamiluim. So we know that in the Mishkan, in the Midbar, when they inaugurated the Mishkan, they brought Karbanos Miluim, and amongst them we have bread offerings. So just like by a Toida comes along with a batch of breads, as we learned yesterday, four different types, 10 chametz, 30 matzah, hamiluim hoi boin ke matzah shabatoida hamiluim. They skipped the chametz part. They only brought the matzah variations, all three of them, right? Chalos, the more like loaf-looking matzah, verukik, and the more flat bread type, uravicha, the one that's, you know, cooked, scalded in oil. So it went from four types to three. Nazirus, on the other hand, which a person would bring when he finishes the his Nazirus experience, it's also a carbon with breads. But how many types? Down to two types. No chametz and no revucha. So only two out of the three matzah types. Nazirus ha'isabok, shtei yadeh means two parts of three, so two-thirds. Kematzah shal toida, of the matzahs that a toida would bring, meaning it's only chalais and urakikin, but there's no revuch of einba, revuch nimtza, so it turns out he only needs two-thirds of the material, of the flour. So typically, how much flour is designated for the matzahs? If you count with Kabin in Yerushalayim, it was 15. So here it's only two parts out of three, we're down to 10 kav. If you work with Isarain, so it's 10 Isarain, two-thirds of which are 6 and two-thirds. Okay, so Nimtza Asara Kabin Yerushalayim was 10 kav instead of 15, because it's only two out of the three types of matzah. And if you count with Isarain, Shein Shisha, Isroinais, Voidayin, 6 Isarain plus two additions, two-thirds, so it's 6 and two-thirds. No, really, how do we know that in the Miluim they would bring the matzah variations without the chametz type? Look at the pasuk by the Miluim. So what did he take off from the basket of matzahs? Lokach. And the pasuk here will list for us all three types of matzahs. Chalas, that's the loaf form of a matzah achas. V'chalas, lechem shemen achas, that's the revucha with oil. Rukik achas, that's the rukik. Explains the word. Bishleim chalois. So the word chalois is, of course, chalois, right? That's the loaf type of matzah. Rukik is the rukik, the flat one. What is the shemen, the oily? What is that? Meinino, what is that? Lav revucha, we assume it's the revucha. So you see, all three types were brought. Maskevlor of Avia, who says it's a an oil-saturated loaf. Ema ansa, the mishcha. Maybe it's a cake, a solid, congealed, oil cake. The mishcha of oil. Ella k'dedar shav nachmar chizdam shmeid rabbi tavla. I'll show you that in fact they brought all three types, including revucha, which incidentally was a type of mincha that every kohen gadol brings every morning. That's the chavita we talk about many times. He brings in the morning, in the afternoon, a standard kohen gadol offering, which was also cooked in oil. And the pasuk compares the miluim experience to the chinuch experience when you start for the first time to the standard chavitin of a kohen gadol, which is revucha. Zeh karban aron evanav asher akrivu l'Hashem b'yamim ha'shachos. So the following is the carbon that Aaron or his kids and his kids will bring the day that he was anointed. Now, what's the connection? V'chimalo madnu levanov b'yamim mashchay. What's the connection? What's the correlation? So the kids of a kohen have to bring a carbon when the father gets appointed and anointed? Well, what's going on? Elo makesh chinuch li mashchay. Right, what the pasuk is telling you, that when the child of a kohen gadol, later down the road, any kohen gadol is appointed. Chinuch means it's the first time he's serving, it's the beginning of his avoda. Comparing that event, lehi mashchay, to the anointed, meaning to the minchas chavitin that a kohen gadol, the anointed one, has to bring every day. which we know is oil-based, Mai Moshcha, just like that one is Ruvucha, is Ruvucha. As the Pasuk clearly states, it's Murbeches Tevienna, it's Ruvucha, it's scalded in oil. Af Chinuchai Ruvucha, likewise. When a Kohen Gadol begins his Avodah for the first time, he brings the same type, an oil-saturated mincha, and likewise, back in the Mishkan, Barim Luim, we assume that's what the Pasuk means when it says Chalas Lechem Shemen, with oil, saturated with oil, means Ravucha. So now we establish that when a Kohen is inaugurated for the first time, he celebrates his first Avodah, he brings a special carbon, like a Menchas Chavitin that a Kohen Gadol brings every day. Amar Kohen Gadol, I'm a Skarav Avodah, so the Kohen Gadol is the first time doing an Avodah. So he needs to bring a double dose, two of this type of Mincha. Why? To mark two events. First of all, it's his first time in. Second of all, it's a standard fare for Kohen Gadol on a daily basis. Tzorech Shtei Yisroinis is to bring one Yisroin for this, one Yisroin for that. Shtei Yisroinis Ha'ifa. Achas one Lehi Mashchoi, because of his position, because a Kohen Gadol does this every day. V'achas Techenuchai. The second one is because it's his first time in. Ma'ab Rav Ashi Omar, no, it doesn't stop there. It can get even to three. Ma'ab Rav Ashi Omar Sholish. Well, I plead, there really is no machlekes here. It all depends on the event. The number two is when this Kohen Gadol that was appointed today. Sure, it's his first time doing Avodah as a Kohen Gadol, but he has already been here in the past when he was an ordinary Kohen. So now he's just celebrating the first as a Kohen Gadol. So he brings one for that, one for Chavitin, the standard, you know, Kohen Gadol offering. The number three is when it's his first time, period. He never served as a regular Kohen either. He was straight. Went straight to the Kohen Gadol category. He never did Avodah when he was a Kohen Hedid. It's his first time serving as a Kohen Gadol. So now, he's celebrating three things. First time during service, period. That's one. First time doing service as a Kohen Gadol, that's two. Thirdly, the standard Minchas Chavit. Okay, so we established that by the Miluim, they had just the Matzahs and all three types. We also learned that a Kohen Gadol on his first time in brings Ravucha, and sometimes it could be two or three at a shot. Nezirus HaYisabosh, the others Kematzah Betoida. However, a Nazir, when he completes his experience, he brings the Ayal Nazir with breads. But how many breads? First of all, it's only a Matzah, and even within the Matzah category, only two types out of three. No Ravucha. Tanu Rabbanan Shlamav. So this is a pasuk discussing the Korban Shlom. It says, he toyed over there, he brings the breads, and it says, Al Zevach toyed Shlomov. Shlomov is an extra word. L'rabbi Shami Nazir. We learned that even a Nazir brings a similar arrangement. He brings his Shlomim with breads. L'asares Kav in Yushamis. L'rabbi is Shemen. He brings 10 Kav of flour to supply his matzahs. And only a revius of oil. Now, how do we get to these numbers? So Rashi explains, very simple. We had the first part of the Mishnah, that it goes down from 15 kav to 10, because 15 kav is to bring all three types of matzah, but here it's only two types, so it goes down a third to 10. And oil as well, because you see, you started with a lug, a toida would be brought with a lug, a full lug, let's call it a liter of oil. It was divided down the middle. Half goes to the chalais, half goes to the chametz, and half goes to the matzah. So now we're down to half a lug for all three matzah categories. Now Rashi explains that Ravucha was more oily, so it got a higher percentage of that oil. So you took that half a lug and split it into two again. A quarter lug goes to the Ravucha, which the Nazir doesn't bring, so he deducts that. All he's left is a quarter lug for the other two types of matzah. So that's how we get to these numbers. Again, Shlom of L'Rabbi Shalmi Nazir, L'Aser is Kav and Yushalmi, is 10 Kav of flour. L'Rvi is Shemen, a quarter lug of oil. Yochel L'Choyel Masham Rabin, who's to say, maybe he brings Ravucha as well, all different types of matzahs. Tamalema matzahs. Pasuk says, by the Nazir, it says matzahs. My Talmud says the Gemara, well, why does the word matzahs preempt Ravucha, which is also a type of matzah? Omra Papa, Dover Shneva by Matzahs. He He only brings those types which are associated with the word matzis. Lafukid Rebuchid lenemu b'matzis. You look at the psukim by the carbon toida. By Rebuchid says chalais plus b'shem. It doesn't use the word matzis. It only does it by the chalais and by the matzis, by the rekikah, not by the Rebuchid. So the nazir, where the word matzis is mentioned, is specific only to two types of matzis which are associated with the word matzis. So we skip the Rebuchid. The Rebbe Shmuel Tana, he provides another source for this, because if you look at the pasuk by Nazir, we find it within the pasuk. We find an indication that we skip the Revucha, because it starts with the word matzis, which is klal, a general term which can relate to all types of matzis, even Revucha. But then it specifies chalais urekikin. That's a prat. That's specific reference to those two. So we have a klal uprat. And when a klal, a general term, is followed by a specific term, ein b'chlal, el mash b'frat, we learn that the klal is only referring to those specific entities, and therefore chalais rukikin in, those two are in, but otherwise, like rubucha, that's out. So the bottom line is, by a toida, we have four types of breads, it goes down to three by the meluim, by the nazar, we're down to two. Says the Mishnah Amid Beis, ha-sheyached es ha-toida, so we know that the shechita of the carbon toida actually affects the bread. It's an accompaniment to the carbon. It gets kaddish, gets upgraded to the status of inherent kedusha, kedusha aguf, during the shechita of the toida. Now, what if the bread is not around? Hashechita is ha-toida lefnim. We did the shechita of the toida inside, you know, the Beis Hamikdash, in the Azara, but the breads were outside. Lachma and its breads were chutz l'chaima, outside the chaima. Lo kiddush alechem, the bread does not become kaddish, because it wasn't really a joint experience. It's not included. What if it's still in its dough form? No, it has to be bread, properly baked bread. Shachta actually kamar paneya betano. Let's say the shechita on the toida before the face, the top surface of those breads were karmu, got crusted in the oven. It's still considered dough, and therefore it doesn't work. Vafilu karmu kulon. Even if they all crusted except for one, chutz meechad mem lekiddush alechem, the bread does not become kaddish. Now, when the Mishnah says the bread needs to be inside as opposed to outside the wall, which wall are we talking about? Which area disconnects the bread from the how far does it have to be? Meichus l'chaima. Rabbi Yechon Amar chus l'chaima space pagi. In order for it to be disconnected and unassociated with the carbon, it has to be far out, outside Yerushalayim. Base pagi was the outer area of the wall of Yerushalayim, beyond which it disconnects from the carbon back in the Mikdash. But let's say it's in Yerushalayim, which is technically a place where you could eat the carbon toida once it's processed, so it's a place which relates to the carbon. If the bread is somewhere there, it's okay. Close enough. It doesn't have to be in the Azara together with the, you know, carbon and the Makam HaKrava. Rish Lakish Amar says, no, it has to be close proximity. In the Azara itself, it has to sort of jointly experience the HaKrava in the Azara. Rish Lakish Amar Chutz L'Chaim is Azara. But if it's outside the Azara, too far gone. Explains the Gemara. What's it based on? Rish Lakish Amar Chutz L'Chaim is Azara. If it's outside the Azara, too far. Because the pasuk says that the breads are connected. It says v'hikriv al zevach atoyda chalas matzis. The breads are al means nearby, connected with. But in an al b'samach, al means literally close proximity in the place of hakrava. Rabbi Yechon Amar chutz l'chaim space pagi says even if it's outside the azor, as long as it's in Yerushalayim, it's okay. Avachutz l'azor kodesh. But if it's outside the azor in Yerushalayim, it's okay. But in al b'samach, we don't learn al to this extent that it has to be in close proximity, as long as it's somewhere in the area. Says the Gemara, now this very same discussion we already had back in Pesachim regarding the Isra of doing the Shechita of the Karban Pesach with Chametz in your possession. And the question there is, does the Chametz have to be in the Azara with the Karban Pesach as it's being Shechted, or even if it's outside somewhere in your possession, it's also bad enough? So we have the same machlokes there. Rish Lakish says only if it's in the place of Akrava and the, you know, Azor. Rabbi Yechon says anywhere. So what's the point of duplicating the same discussion by the Lachmei Toida, which runs along the same system? Ask the Gemara Voi Fligi B'Chadazim. This very same dispute has been presented elsewhere by the Karban Pesach. The Snan Hashechet HaPesach Al HaChametz. The person does the Shechita of the Pesach when he has Chametz in his possession. Oiver B'Loisasi has violated the Loisasi of Loisishchat Al HaChametz Dam Zivchi. Do not shech the Karban Pesach with Chametz. Rabbi Doi Ma'afat Tamed applies even to the carbon Tamed Shabbein Arbaim. If there's Chametz, it's an Isra. And the question is, where is the Chametz located? We have Rish Lakish who says right here, and only right here is it a problem. Rabbi Yechon says anywhere. From Rish Lakish, he's only liable at she oil shechet. In the case where either the person doing the shechita on the Pesach, or the zerik, or the kohen doing the zrika, or the echad nechabur, or one of the members of the Karban Pesach, imoy ba'azara, he has it with him in the azara. Rabbi Yechon Amar, no. Even if it's on the azara, if you own the chametz, it counts. So what's the point of repeating the same achlekes in Psachim and in Menachos? Tzricha says the Gemara both are needed, both have some uniqueness to them, which can't be related to the other case. Had we only discussed the case of the chametz with the Karban Pesach, I would speculate. Perhaps Bahi Kamar Rabbi Yechon, it's over there, only over there Rabbi Yechon says, look, even if the chametz is elsewhere, if it's in your possession, it's a matter of you, right? A matter of you doing the Pesach with your chametz in your possession. So wherever the chametz is, if it's in your possession, be isur kayim, it generates an isur. Aval in the mikdash lechem, but we're talking about the bread becoming affected by this hakrava, by this carbon, and getting kedusha. Ema, perhaps I can say, even Rabbi Yechon will get to Rish Lakish. It has to be right there in the place of Akrava. That's what I would think. If not for the fact that we learn otherwise. Right? He would agree to Rish Lakish, the Isa Bifnim, if the bread is in the Azor, Kaddish, it gets Kedusha. Avroi, but outside the Kaddish, it does not get Kedusha. That's what I would think. On the other end, had we only learned the discussion pertaining to the Taida, I would go the other way. I would say, I would speculate, I would suggest, come Rish Lakish. Perhaps it's only here. Rish Lakish says, we insist on the bread being nearby because it's getting Kedusha. It has to be part of the Akrav experience in the Azor Aval Bahach. But in the case of the Chametz, who cares what the Chametz is? If you own the Chametz, you are violating because you are processing the Karban Pesach with the Chametz in your possession. It's more of a personal issue. Perhaps you would get to Rabbi Yechon. That's what we discussed. Both cases. No, in each case, each one sticks to his own position. Whether it's the bread, or whether it's the chametz, according to Rish Lakish, the issue is only when it's right here in the Azar. Tanya, however, we have a raya, support from Rabbi Rabbi Yechonon, that the bread need not be in the Azar per se. Hashaychad is a toitel of him. He did the shkita toitel in the Azar properly. V'lachman, the bread was outside. Yerushalayim, that's a problem. Chus the chametz based pagi, then it doesn't work. Like the shalachim, the bread does not become kaddish, but otherwise, if it's anyone Yerushalayim, it works. Now, it has to be somewhat baked, right? To be considered for the Karban Taida. Shachta Shaloi Karban Paneva Tana. So he did the Shkita before the bread got crusted over. It doesn't work. But not immediately. How do we know that in fact this is the case? The Tana Rabban, we have a Brice. So let's analyze the Pasuk there, which says like this: Al chalois lechem chametz yakriv karbanoi. You should be makriv the carbon with the breads. Al zevach tet shlomav, which comes along with the carbon shlom, toida shlom. Tan rabbanon. Al chalois lechem chametz yakriv karbanoi. So first of all, we learn the basic halacha that we had in the Mishnah al zevach, that the bread becomes kaddish through the zvicha, through the shechita. Malamed, we learn she'ein alechem kaddish elim kein karbon nevatan. Okay, so first of all, it has to be bread. At a minimum, it has to be crusted over. Number two, Yaakov Karbon El Zevach, we learned that what makes it Kaddish? The Zvicha. Malamed, we learned She'en Alechem Kaddish El B'Shchita Zevach. It's only the Shchita of the Toida which generates the Kedush on the breads. And finally, the last words of the Pasuk is Zevach Toida Shlomov. From here we learn, it has to be intentional, it has to be focused. Malamed, we learned She'em Shachna Shlo Yishmar, he did the Shchita on the Toida with the wrong carbon in mind. He thought it's an oila. It has to be zevach toida shlamav. He has to have in mind for a shlam and for a toida. Loi kedesh lechem. In this case, the bread does not become kaddish. Tana Rabbanan. How baked is baked? Yoitzin b'matzanot. So now, we take a little shift over to the halachas of consumption of achilas matzah on Pesach. You can fulfill your obligation b'matzanot, even with partially baked matzah. Matzah suyi b'ilfas, or matzah that was baked in a pan. My matzanot, at what point is it called matzana, which passes? Not raw, and not completely baked either, right? So what are we talking? Or Bidom HaShmuel, you have to achieve a certain degree of bakedness. Kosher persa. So this is the test. You'll crack the mat, you break the bread. And if there are no, you know, raw strings pulling, right? No strings attached, then you know it's adequately baked, adequately dry, which works. Vein chutin m'shechar men, there are no strings pulling. Amar Rava b'chinen lachmi toida. Same criterion is applied to lachmi toida. Once it achieves that level of bakedness, it's considered bread, and that corresponds with the shiur in the Mishnah as well, which sets it up as kermu ponel batano. The the top surface is somewhat crusted. That's an indication that it's adequately baked. Pshita, says the Gemara, well, obviously, of course, the same model that's applied to matzah is applied to karban toida. Why? Because in both cases, the Torah refers to them as lechem. Apparently, they work the same system. Pshita, ha'ach lechem ksiv, here by the toida it says lechem. Ha'ach lechem ksiv, and by the matzah. So, ha'ach, the first one is going on the... by the matzah, it says lechem lechem ayni. By lechem toida, it also says lechem ksiv. It says al chalis lechem chametz. So why would you think to differentiate? Well, ma'odatema, perhaps I would suggest, I would speculate that toida has higher standards. Why? Echad am rachmano. We learned yesterday that the Torah instructs them to remove one bread, and the Torah calls it echad. It has to be a single entity. So perhaps if it's only partially baked, it's not really a proper entity. It doesn't really carry its own weight. You pick it up, it disintegrates, it falls apart, right? Echad amrachmona. Torah dictates echad. Shalito pars, you can't take a broken one. Baha. And this partially baked bread, commander priest Adam, perhaps we should consider as though it's broken apart. It doesn't really carry itself as one unit. Comes Rav and he says, no, kamash malon. The point is, this is enough baked, it's considered bread, and it works. Itma. Now, we know that by the Toida there are 40 breads. What if a fellow decides to bring 80 breads? He's super generous today, he brings 80. It doesn't really work, because 40 is the required amount. Itma Toida sheshchata al shmonim chalis. What if he did? He brought a whole truckload of bread, and he shechted the Toida with the 80 chalis. What happens? Chizki amar kachu. Koda chizki, it works. Now, only 40 become kaddish. But since we can't really discern which ones, we can't identify which ones, so we have to treat them all as though they're Kaddish, but technically only 40 are Kaddish and the carbon works. Kachu arbaim, 40 become Kaddish from the mitayich, from the 80 shmoinim. Rabbi Yechon Amar, it's a non-starter. Loi, kachu arbaim tech shmoinim, doesn't work, because he has too many. Now, Amar Bzeir, let me explain to you the machlekes. Hakol Moedim all agree. Even Rabbi Yechon would agree in the following case. Hechadama, if he announces his intention as follows. Hechadama, he says, Likachu Arboim Techshmanim. He says, look, I want only 40 to become Kaddish. I don't intend on more than 40. So in this case, all agree it works, even Rabbi Yechon. Kachu, because he's not intending I'm doing more than 40. On the other hand, Ali Yikdushu Arboim. If he stipulates, I don't want 40 to become Kaddish, Elim Kein Yikdushu Shmoinim, unless 80, all 80 become Kaddish, he's clearly indicating that he wants all 80. All agree it doesn't work. Loi Kachu. All agree. So what's the Machlekes about? Kipligi. Machlekes is Bistama. Unspecified. He brought a truckload of 80, did the Shchita, he didn't explain his intention. How do we view it? Does he really want a jumbo carbon? Or perhaps the extra is just as a backup, just in case something goes wrong. But really, really, he wants a standard size carbon. Mar Savar, that's the machlok. Chizki is of the opinion. Lachrayis kamachavan. He's not trying to make a jumbo carbon. He just wants lachrayis, a backup, just in case. So it works. Mar Savar, Rabbi Yechon says, no, the carbon called kamachavan. He's trying to make a jumbo, super generous carbon. It doesn't work. That's one way to explain. By Amar, here comes another way to explain the machlok. The kuliyama. Now Rashi seems to learn that according to Abai, everybody assumes that he's trying to make a jumbo carbon. So how could it work? Machlokes is like this. Perhaps we can disregard his intention. Ubechli sharis mekachin shalim medas kamiflik. Machlokes is whether a kli sharis, a holy vessel, like in this case a knife, which is being used for the shechita of the Torah, which is actually generating and activating the kedusha on the bread as well, can it work independent of the owner? Shalom v'das, without the owner's intention, meaning, can we disregard the owner's intention? Is the klisharis a standalone, independent power? Mar Savar Klisharis Mikat Shalem Midas, Chitki says yes, it can work on its own. Does what it has to do. And since the required number of breads are 40, that's what it's Mikadish, not more, so it works. Irrespective of the owner's, you know, jumbo plans. Umar Savach, Rabbi Yechon says no. It can't work on its own. Klisharis in Mikat Shalem Midas, can't work without the Das of the owner. So in this case, since he's trying to make a jumbo carbon, he can't disregard it. So it doesn't work. Rav Papa Amar, here comes another pshat. The Kuliyam all agree, generally, Klesharis, Makash, Shalem, Midas, Klesharis can work independently. But here it's not a standard Klesharis. Typically, Klesharis is a receptacle, it's a container, it has its own, you know, environment, it can work independent of the owner of the... Here it's a knife, which is a more of a flat surface. It's a Klesharis, but of a different type. V'ocha here, B'sakim, Kamik, the question is on the status of the knife. How powerful is that knife to work independent of the das? Mar Sava Mekash Klisharis. Chizki says it can work like a klisharis, and we disregard the owner's intention. Mar Savar. Harichan says the knife is different. Sakin Kibulas Aitech, since it doesn't have the interior and doesn't create its own environment. Eina Mekadesh Klisharis doesn't have the same power as a regular klisharis, and here it's bound to what the owner has in mind, and it's possible. Vika de Amri. Here comes yet another pshat. Just the opposite. Typically by klisharis, all agree it's not going to sanctify its content unless it's in line, it's consistent with the das, but it can't work on its own. Here it's a question of a knife. Perhaps a knife is even stronger than your typical klisharis. Why? Marsavar Chizki says sakin alimam klisharis. A sakin is more powerful in a way than a regular klisharis. Alimam klisharis. The avig of less than kaiach mekachi. You see, look, even without a toich, it works. Even without an interior, it is mekadosh. Apparently, it works on a different track. And since it has that advantage, perhaps it can be used independent of the owner's intention, and it works. Even in this case of the 40 breads. Umar Sava Chizki, Rabbi Yechon says no, it's like every other klisharis, no different. Sakin alimle klisharis. Sakin is not any stronger or more powerful than regular klisharis, which must follow the dictates of the owner, etc. And since in this case he's trying to bring a jumbo 80 challah carbon, it doesn't work. Okay, perhaps we'll leave the next piece for tomorrow. Bezras Hashem. Let's just recap this piece of Gemara. So we learn that we learn from the Pesukim that the Shechit of the Torah is what's Mekadish the breads, provided that it's bread. It has to be somewhat baked, which runs the same rules as matzah. What if the bread is outside the area? It doesn't work. What does the area mean? According to Rish Lakish, it has to be in the Azara itself, just like by the Chametz. The issue is only when it's in the Azara. That's what Al means. Besamach. And Rechon says Al doesn't necessarily mean nearby, as long as it's associated with it, even if it's outside, if it's in Yerushalayim, which is the makam that you eat the Torah, that's enough. And likewise by the Chametz, if it's in his possession anywhere, it is problematic. What about a fellow who brings 80 chalas? Chizki says 40 become Kaddish, Rechon says none become Kaddish, and we have 4 ways to explain the machlekes. All the best to you, and Surah Tovis, and Atzlach Rav.